Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our study of the Jesus of history or Jesus of the Gospels. The question, who is Jesus, is being answered in various ways, at various levels and depths in the books of the New Testament. Of course, it is the New Testament that gives us the true picture of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. The Gospels present the historical Jesus, where he started his work, how he continued his work, and how his work was completed on the cross and finished or triumphed in the resurrection. Whereas the primitive kerygma, the preaching of the church, preaching of the disciples about Jesus, did not start at the birth of Jesus or at the Annunciation or even with the public ministry. When we go to the letters of St. Paul, the greatest of the apostles, the missionary who brought the good news to the ends of the earth, Paul does not speak anything about the birth, nothing about the public ministry of Jesus. And this was purposely done. In the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I did not want to know anything but Jesus and him crucified. Paul made an option to speak about Jesus as the crucified one. And that's where he found the sense, the meaning of the person of Jesus. This person of Jesus was revealed to him. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul says that he did not come to know Jesus from anybody else. In fact, Paul doesn't seem to have met Jesus during his public ministry, even though it is possible that he might have heard about him. But Paul, in the letter to the Galatians, says in chapter 1, verse 12, I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who revealed himself to Paul, and from this revelation he understood the depth of the personality, the meaning of the person of Jesus. And this revelation occurred on his way to Damascus. We know Paul was a fanatic Jew, a Pharisee, a learned lawyer, who thought that Jesus was a blasphemer, a criminal who was condemned by the Sanhedrin and put to death by the Roman authority. And he thought it his life's mission to eradicate this faith in Jesus Christ. And for that, he was going from house to house, carrying the believers out of the house and shutting them down in prison, and even putting them to death, like Stephen was stoned to death. So this fanatic Pharisee turned into a disciple of Christ because Paul met Jesus on his way. On his way to Damascus, where he wanted to arrest the Christians or the Jews who had turned Christians. And on that way, he met with Jesus. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 3 to 5. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He asked, Who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. A revelation that came like a bolt from the blue, like a lightning that enlightened his mind. And a new realization came to him, that this Jesus who was condemned as a criminal and put to death as a blasphemer, and whom Paul thought was the greatest of sinners, is now revealed to him as the one risen, as the one who is living. Jesus is no more a person who is dead and gone, but a person who is alive, alive in the community. And this Jesus is being persecuted by Paul, who is arresting and torturing the Christians. Jesus present in the community. And who is this Jesus? The whole life of Paul is being transformed by this person, and he grows gradually in the knowledge about this person. There, in the letter to the Colossians, Paul speaks about this Jesus, whom he understood through a revelation. And through this revelation, he is getting to the depth of this personality called Jesus of Nazareth. In chapter 1, verses 15 to 19 of the letter to the Colossians, we read, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And he is the firstborn of all creation. That means from him and through him, all creations came into existence. In him, all things were created. Jesus is equal to God. Jesus is God. And he is the reflection of God. And he himself is before all things, eternal, image of the invisible God. This invisible God has become human, has come down into this earth. And that is what he says in the letter to the Philippians. In chapter 2, there is a hymn called the Christological Hymn of Paul in the letter to the Philippians. In verses 5 to 8, we read, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So this is Jesus, God who emptied himself, God who came down in human form, God who became man. That's what the entire New Testament revelation gives us about the person of Jesus. In the letter to the Hebrews, in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we read, "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word." That's what we get as a revelation in the New Testament, that Jesus is the Son of God. We will come to analyze this expression. We will come to meditate on it later. Here, the Son of God is presented as an image, as the one through whom God reveals himself. In former times, means the Old Testament times, in various other religions, ancient religions, God had revealed himself in various ways and very, very many means. through prophets, through rishis, through sages, through priests, through various ways God had revealed himself, God had spoken to people. And we have the Shrutis, and we have the Vedas, and we have all religious literature of the whole world in which God revealed himself in various ways. But finally, in these last days, he has spoken by his only son. And this only son reveals himself, reveals God on earth. And this son is God who emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a human being. So this is what the letters tell us about Jesus, who is the Word of God, who is the revelation of God, who is the image, who has become visible, is the image of the invisible God. About this Jesus, the Gospels are preaching. Now we come to the Gospel of John. John is the last of the four Gospels, written towards the end of the first century, maybe about 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John is the beloved disciple who had lived with Jesus for 3 years and who understood the heart of Jesus, who understood the mystery of Jesus. And through long meditation, through long guidance of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, John came to realize really the depth of the personality. Who this Jesus is, who is presented as a carpenter from Nazareth, who was considered as a miracle worker, a healer, a wonder worker, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, person who was appreciated by thousands, and person who was feared and hated by those in authority, the powerful ones, the person who was finally put to death. This Jesus, John says, is nothing but God himself. That's how he starts his gospel. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how John starts speaking about Jesus. He speaks about the beginning. He starts his gospel like the Bible, in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis starts like this. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So the Bible speaks about the beginning of the whole creation. So creation has a beginning, and it begins when God creates. But John is taking us even beyond, behind this beginning, to a time when there is no time, to a point where time doesn't exist. John is taking us beyond time into eternity. So that is in the beginning, which is no beginning at all. That is eternity. And in the beginning, John doesn't say God became the Word. In the beginning was the Word. That is co-eternal with God. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. And this Word is the expression, is the manifestation, is the revelation of God. It may be very difficult to understand this philosophical way of expressing the reality of God. John is speaking to a Greek-speaking Christians, a Hellenistic community, expressing the deep revelation, the faith in the Hellenistic language. And for us also, it might be very difficult to understand exactly what John wants to reveal, wants to communicate. But one thing is sure and clear. Word is an expression. Word is manifestation. Word is revelation. And God is revelation. God is revealing himself. Revealing himself in his word. And later on, when John says that this word became flesh and dwelt among us, John is telling that this particular individual human being called Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, is the manifestation of God. He is the Word. So, in order to understand God, you look at the face of Jesus. And Jesus reveals God. We have a tendency to consider God as a very old, ancient man with gray hair and gray beard, an ancient man, ancient figure. And we have also a tendency to consider that God the Father as a cruel judge who wants his own son to be sacrificed and who will be pleased only when the only son sheds his blood and appeases his anger is a very mistaken way of thinking about God. When John says that the Word was God, Word was with God and Word was God, and this Word became flesh and dwelt among us and we saw him, John is telling, look at Jesus and know who is God. God, who manifested himself in various ways in the ancient times, is now manifesting himself in this particular individual called Jesus of Nazareth. The God of Jesus Christ presents himself, reveals himself in Jesus Christ. And this God is not a cruel judge. He is the Father who is the source of life, who is the source of love, who manifests himself in his Son. Or Jesus is the manifestation of the love of God. Only through Jesus Christ, we can understand the true nature of God. So when John says, God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he is telling, it is in Jesus that we understand God. Whatever is God, whatever is the nature of God, the substance of God, the very being of God is being revealed in Jesus Christ. So when we try to understand the person of Jesus, we have to keep this in mind. Jesus is not just a creature. Jesus of Nazareth is not just a human being like any other. This is a person who has come down. This is the manifestation, the very manifestation of God. That is what John tells us in his prologue, the beginning of the Gospel, chapter 1 in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son. In Jesus we see God's glory. And the incredible thing, the truth impossible to grasp and understand, is this Word of God, God himself, has taken upon himself the human form. John says, the Word became flesh. The Word united itself with the human being, human flesh, and God has become man. Later on, theologians will discuss about the depth meaning of this affirmation, and they will come to the final statement that the person of the Son of God, the nature, divine nature and human nature has been united, that Jesus is at the same time God and man. In this Jesus, we see God's glory, and it is this Jesus who reveals God to us. In verse 18 of the same chapter, John 1, we read, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is the one who authentically reveals God to us. It's only Jesus who knows God, because he is God. And this Jesus, this revelation, this Word of God has taken upon human form. And the Synoptic Gospels tell us how this took place, how the eternal Word of God became a human being. And that we'll come to discuss the next meditation on the birth of Jesus. Now let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing yourself in Jesus Christ, your Word. For revealing your true nature in the love you manifested us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Enable us to understand the mystery of this revelation. Enable us to accept Jesus as your Son, as our Lord. We make this prayer through the same Christ, our Lord.